When I was a little boy, maybe 6.5 years old, my mom got a new job and we moved to a new city. We quickly joined the local Unitarian Fellowship. So I guess we started going in September, but my first memory is actually from the New Year's Eve party. And it was at someone's house, and we crowded into the living room. At midnight, the lights were dimmed, and we counted down from 10, said Happy New Year, cheered, probably some couples kissed. And then I saw that everyone formed this big circle somehow, and we're holding hands. And everyone started singing this song that was unfamiliar to me. Even my parents knew the words. Like, how did they know the words? It was magical. So they sang, should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot in days of old lang syne? Afterwards, I asked my dad, what does acquaintance mean? What does old lang syne mean? So auld lang syne basically means the good old days. Should we forget the people we knew in the good old days? So I was confused. We had recently moved far away from the only world I knew, from friends and neighbors, all gone. So why was everyone singing joyfully about forgetting the good old days? I was a kid who was late at night after midnight, so I did not ask for the rest of the lyrics. I fell asleep on a stairway, and I probably did not wake up until the next day. Didn't give the song another thought until the following New Year's. And years actually went by before I actually saw the full lyrics. There are multiple versions of the song. Robbie Burns popularized the song, but it was an old song. So here are the lyrics with some of the words translated from Scots into English. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old lang syne? For old lang syne, my dear, for old lang syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for old lang syne. Okay, that's good. We'll toast to the old days. That seems better than just forgetting. Verse 3. We too have run about the hills and pulled the daisies fine, but we've wandered many a weary foot since old lang syne. In other words, we had some fun, but that was a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Verse 4 makes the same point. Verse 5 says, and there's a hand, my trusty friend, and give a hand of thine. We'll take a right goodwill draft for old lang syne. Yeah, so let's take hands and drink to the good old days. Verse 6, the final verse. And surely you'll buy your pint cup, and surely I'll buy mine. Take a cup of kindness yet for old lang syne. So we'll toast the good old days, but buy your own drink. And I will buy my drink. So this is getting more nuanced than I expected. It's been so good to see you. What has it been, 35 years? Go get yourself a drink. I'll wait right here. So that is very different from the welcome in the story of the prodigal son. I'm going to tell a modern day version of the prodigal son. And this story is from the author Scott McClanahan. I will tell a version of it that I heard in a sermon by Marlon Lavenhar, who credits that version to Buddhist teacher Tara Brach. A young man got into an argument with his parents. They spoke horrible words to one another, and he left without saying goodbye. That night, he didn't come home. The next day, didn't come home, nor the next, he was gone. He got on with his life, and years later found himself in jail. When he finally got out of jail, he wondered if his mother and father were even alive, and if they were ashamed of what had been said and of where he had wound up. He wrote to them and he told them that he would be home on a specific day the next week. If they wanted to see him and were not ashamed, he would put a blanket on the clothesline. And if he saw the blanket, he would know to come inside. If there was no blanket on the clothesline, he would know that he was not welcomed. And he would turn around. He told them he hoped they were in good health. A man arrived by rail the next week. He was nervous when he stepped off the train. There was no one there to greet him. He walked up the worn path towards home, and he thought about the past. He thought about his time in jail. He thought about how ashamed his parents must be. He thought about the horrible words they had spoken. And he was just about to turn around and go back when he saw a blanket. A blanket in a tree. He kept walking and he saw another blanket and another one. Then he turns the corner and his whole house is covered in blankets. The whole yard is covered in blankets. The clothesline is covered in blankets. And the path to the front door is covered in blankets. His parents were standing there welcoming him inside. As an aside, to be more like this original prodigal son, there would be a sibling inside saying, "Where is my blanket?" Yeah, so if these parents were to sing Auld Lang Syne, they would not have said, "You buy your drink and I'll buy mine." They would have said, "This round is on me." I wonder what those parents did in all those intervening years. Did they sit in the dark in their living room, night after night, candlelight vigil, praying that their son might come home? Or did they give up and close their hearts to the possibility of ever loving again? Did they come to believe that the rock feels no pain and the island never cries? Or did they pass through a mourning period and find themselves come out the other side, still with love to give? Did they adopt or foster another child? Did they fill their home with pets? Did they love their neighbors? And did they find a spiritual home? Sometimes life makes decisions for us. Life, as you know it, is suddenly gone, can never come back. Sometimes you make a decision. There's a fork in the road, and you must decide on a path forward. If you imagine you're carrying a backpack through life, is your backpack getting a little burdensome and it's time to put something down? Time to drop a couple of hobbies to make room for something new? And follow a couple people on social media to hone in on those who matter most? You bump into an old friend, you both say we should get coffee sometime, but life is full enough already, so you don't follow up. You get an invitation to your high school reunion. Maybe you decide that you've moved on. When we were packing to move here, I went through all of the mementos I had saved up through the years. Photographs, postcards, and letters. And I decided to keep plenty of them, but I also said goodbye to some memories, some good memories. I want the backpack that I carry through life to contain treasures, but not so many that it is burdensome. I'll raise a toast to the past. I'll hang out blankets for some things to come back. And I'll be mindful of what I carry into the future. What do I want in my backpack, and what's currently in my backpack that I can put down? In a moment, we will have some silence while you consider what you are ready finally to let go of. Perhaps having a toast to it, perhaps not. And consider what you very much want in your life, maybe something new or maybe a blanket you want to hang out as we move into the new year. If you are watching a recording of this, we'll stop the recording in a second because after the silence, we will have open sharing in our fire ceremony. And if you're watching the recording, you might journal your answers to the question I'll ask or talk with a friend about it. So the questions are, what habits, patterns, or attitudes no longer serve you? What is it time to let go of? And what do you want to enhance or add to your life?